So we've been speaking a little bit about Chovos Levavos, in particular, the nature of the mitzvah or the sugya of bitachon. And we've spoken about a couple weeks ago about whether bitachon is a mitzvah or not. If it's a mitzvah, if it's part of the mitzvah of dveikus, if it's part of the mitzvah, it's an outgrowth of emuna, tamim tiyem Hashem elokecha, is it a prerequisite for all mitzvahs of the highest madrega? That we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. Last week, we developed two very different mahalchim in what bitachon really means. Bitachon, according to Chazon Ish, is the knowledge that Hashem Yisbarach is in control of everything, the knowledge that Ribono Sha'olam is one that calls the shots, but it does not mean that which you want to be good, that will cause good. And we saw that according to all means that Hashem Yisbarach is in charge. We saw that according to Chaim Volozhiner, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Alter Nevarik, the Babich Rebbe, and many others, that they argue with the Chazon Ish. And according to them, bitachon means if you think good, it'll be good. And bitachon gives the koach, bitachon gives the power to impact in a very positive way that which you believe in, that if you believe that things will turn out well, so things will as a result. Mida, keneged mida, if you think in a positive way, the Ribono Shel Olam will respond in a positive way. And we pointed out last week that if you look at different Rishonim, you find different indications. Many Rishonim clearly in the non-Chazon Ish camp. Some Rishonim potentially more in the Chazon Ish camp. Some of that relates to Sugyas and Maseches Brachos. We saw that Rabbeinu Bach and Chovos HaLevavos may have multiple indications because for him, as we suggested at the end of last week, maybe it's not one or the other, but it's combinations of both. Depending on just how trying the circumstances, depending on just what kind of a Baal Madrega a person happens to be. As Purim is upon us next week, I want to share with you really just one Mahalach. It's a Mahalach that comes from one of the great giants of our generation, Rav Shlomo Fischer. So Fischer is a... I once heard in the name of a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, from the son of a very chashuv Talmud Chacham, that the Shlomo Fischer is the only person he's ever heard his father say knows Kol Torah Kula Mamish. His understanding of Shas, Rishonim, and Achronim, Sefer Beis Yishai on Shas, volumes of a couple volumes on Sugyas, a Baki in Torah Sachasidus and the writings of the Gra, a Baki in medieval philosophy and the writings of the Rishonim. Shlomo Fischer is one of the more, he's an unbelievable giant of a Talmud Chacham, a very fascinating figure. And in his Drashos Beis Yishai, he has an absolutely unbelievable mahalach about the nature of Purim, and he connects it very powerfully to the debate between the Chazon Ish and others that we saw last week in a way in which Purim really crystallizes a particular perspective. But we're going to be developing really just one mahalach. I came into the Beis Medrash yesterday, and there was someone sitting in my seat when I came in during Musar Seder. So I ended up having to sit somewhere else, and right in front of me was a Drashos Beis Yishai. So I had the opportunity. I was stuck anyway. I didn't want to make it uncomfortable. So I just opened up the Sefer, and you know, as Ribono Shel Olam had it, I had, I guess, bitachon that Hashem would take care of me. So it worked. So therefore, a lot of this mahalach, the mahalach really comes from there. We're going to develop it at length. We'll maybe add a mucker or two just to give it a little bit more context. But for Shlomo Fischer, it's an unbelievable Torah. It's a particular kind of machshava. Please pay attention, and hopefully we will be able to relate and understand things as well as possible. Let's begin as follows. Again, it's a bit of a different style as far as machshava goes. That there's a particular style of machshava, the Maharal's elements of this, Shem Shmuel, a lot of this, where you start talking about parallels. X parallels Y, you know, A parallels B. We'll describe it a little bit more as we go. But I tried to chart it out a little bit on the board, we could be as clear as possible. Let's begin. We're going to tie it back at the end to bitachon, to this chazanish that we've been speaking about. And hopefully, though, we'll be able to appreciate it in a very, very meaningful way. Let's go as follows. We know that there are different kinds of yamim tovim. There are the shalosh regalim, and there's also purim. There's also purim. Obviously, others as well. But we're talking about the contrast between purim and the shalosh regalim. It's the primary focus of what we're going to be analyzing today. The Torah writes in Archaim and Tzimtaf Yudzayin that he heard Me'achi HaRav Yechiel Ta'am L'davar. He heard from his brother the following, that the Shalosh Regalim each correspond to a different one of the Avos. But the Torah writes, Pesach is Keneged Avraham, Shavuos is Keneged Yitzchak, Sukkos is Keneged Yaakov. That's what the Torah writes, and he tries to prove, to bring Psukim, to point out that each of the Shalosh Regalim parallel one of the three Avos. Avraham more associated with Pesach, Yitzchak more associated with Shavuos, and Yaakov more associated with Sukkos. What is Purim parallel? If holidays parallel particular figures, so what is Purim parallel? So if Shlomo Fischer points out that there is a Medrash in the Yalkut Shimoni,
Now, Shmuley tells us that Amar David, that David HaMelech said, Ribono Sha'olam, Kshetas at Yeshua's, are they Mordechai Zachreini? When you're going to have Mordechai there, and Mordechai is going to be the person, that is going to facilitate. Esther may be the one that ultimately did it. But Mordechai, behind the scenes, is going to be a primary facilitator in the redemption. So David said, can you mention my name along with it? And the Medrash said, that's why it's Mordechai, Ish Yehudi, even though Shehaya Mishevet Yehuda, and the Shmo is Mordechai. The David HaMelech, who comes from Shevet Yehuda, wanted his name associated with it. So we see already in the Medrash that David HaMelech has some connection to Purim, although the Medrash doesn't tell us what it is. I don't think he quotes it, but the Magid Meshar and the Beis Yosef in Parshas Vayakhel points out similarly, that it's not coincidental that David HaMelech, David is Begematria, let's do it, 8 plus 6, which is 14. Purim falls out on Yudalid of Adar. And therefore, Kidav who sowed chain Yudalid, it relates to the strength of the moon at those moments. If you, in certain gematria tricks, Shlomo equals Tesvav, you have to be Mitzvah HaKatan, not important what that is right now. But David HaMelech has a particular parallel to Purim. So the starting point is that the Shalosh Regalim somehow parallel Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and that is opposed to Purim, which parallels David HaMelech, which means that if you want to understand the uniqueness of Purim, in contrast to the other Regalim, so the starting point may be appreciating a bit the particular distinction that is between the Avos and David HaMelech. What do the Avos represent as far as their Avodas Hashem, in contrast to what does David HaMelech represent in his Avodas Hashem? Sometimes you have figures that serve as paradigms. So obviously that represents a particular form of Avoda that's in contrast to David HaMelech. What is the contrast between them? So he points out a tshuva of the Panim Meiros in Chelek Aleph, Simen Lamed Tes. The Panim Meiros has a very simple question. He wonders, why is it in Shmona Esrei that we say we refer to the Avos, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov? The God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. Wouldn't it have been smoother to just say, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, Velokei? Why the need to mention each one separately, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov? Why not just say, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why exactly decide to divide up each of the Avos in that way? The standard pshat is because each of the Avos had their own particular form of Avoda. That the way Avram worked in Hashem is different than the way Yitzchak did, different than the way Yaakov did, and therefore, even though they all had the same Elokeinu, they each had their own individualized and personal connection that took place. But the Panim Meiros has a different suggestion. He says, there's a lot to say, al pi Taurus HaNister, but al pi Nigla, I think one could suggest the following. Avraham Avinu came to a recognition of Ribono Sha'olam. If you remember, we spoke earlier in this year about different ways that you prove or relate to God. Rabbi Nebachan Chovas Halvavos, Shara Yichud, is a big believer that you have to philosophically, intellectually be able to prove that there is a Ribono Sha'olam. It's important to be able to do that. In contrast, we saw a different Mahalach, a Mahalach associated with many in Torah Chassidus, a Mahalach associated in a different way, but in a certain sense with the Kuzari, a Mahalach that says Emunah is not something which you're supposed to be, Nachman, of course, that Emunah is not supposed to be intellectual. It's not supposed to be that at all. Says the Panim Meiros, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, Avraham's relationship to Hashem, the way that Avram knew that there was a Bono Shalom was al pi chakira. It was because Avram was able to intuit, to figure it out on his own, to delve intellectually, rationally, to be able to prove that there is a Ribono Sha'olam. You could have thought, says Panim Meiros, that Yitzchak and Yaakov were just sort of riding the coattails of Avraham Avinu. That Avraham Avinu proved things on his own, and all they did was, it was really Elokei Avram. And Yitzchak and Yaakov just said, you know what? If Avram believed in it, so we'll believe in it also, and we have a particular Mesorah, that's what you could say. But, says the Panim Meiros, that we want to say Mefurash, when we davish, but actually that's not true. Elokei Avraham, just as Avram on his own cultivated, was able to prove that he, and develop a certain kind of emunah, Elokei Avraham, so too Yitzchak did the same thing. Yitzchak did not rely just on the Elokei Avraham, there was also an Elokei Yitzchak. There was also an Elokei Yaakov. That each one of them on their own was able to prove what exactly was going on. You could have thought that Yitzchak and Yaakov banav samchu el emunas avos, ulekach anu omim Elokei Yitzchak kolach v'echad. Each one on their own was able to prove and didn't just rely on others. In many ways, therefore, the avos represent, what they represent is a form of emuna, a form of relationship which is intellectual, which cultivates the seichel. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were each people that intellectually were able to appreciate certain things. And taking it a step back, that in many ways, one of the primary goals of the Shalosh Regalim, the Shalosh Regalim are there in order to strengthen a particular kind of emunah and develop a particular kind of seichel. One of the things we're trying to accomplish on a Shavuos, undoubtedly, of a Kabbalah Torah, on a Pesach of the foundational and dominant and primary role of a Yetzias Mitzrayim in cultivating a certain experience and a certain kind of emunah, it's something which undoubtedly is very, very much there. What does David HaMelech represent? What does David HaMelech represent? So David, in many ways, represents the world that is not intellectual, although undoubtedly he was, David, I'm sure, was an intellectual giant. But what David represents for many is a relationship with Ribono Sholam that is much more rikshi. It's much more emotional. It's much more spiritual in a certain sense. David HaMelech is the one that writes Sefer Tehillim. David HaMelech is the one that plays musical instruments. David HaMelech is the one that wrote poetry. David HaMelech is the one that most beautifully and most articulately was able to describe Ribono Sha'olam, describe Avodas Hashem, to speak even the way he speaks Avora, the way he speaks in Tehillim, in Kuf Yitzhak, the way he speaks in Bab Torah is so strong. David HaMelech, through that world of music, David HaMelech, through that world of Regesh, really and undoubtedly is there because there's a certain kind of emotional connection that one is able to develop. Let's keep on going one step further in the way that this breaks down. So the Shalosh Regalim represent in parallel the Avos, and that highlights a particular form of avoda which is much more intellectual. David HaMelech is connected to Purim that represents an avoda which is much more emotional, which is much more spiritual in a certain sense, at least in terms of the way that the term is colloquially used. There's something else also, if we're digging a little bit deeper, as far as the nature of the Shalosh Regalim and Purim, and that's the following. What is the food that you consume on Purim as opposed to the primary food that a person consumes or is associated with the Shalosh Regalim? So we know that the Gemara tells us in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Kuftes that there's a din of Simchas Yantiv. And the din of Simchas Yantiv is an ein simcha ela bebasar v'ein simcha ela beyayin. It involves basar and it involves yayin. If you look, the Rambam in Hilchos Yantiv in Perek Vav Halacha Yitches, we referenced a bit last week that unique sheet of the Rambam in Hilchos Yantiv, but the Rambam maintains that a person should be eating basar and shtiyas yayin when it comes to Shalosh Regalim. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Megillah in Perek Beis Halacha Tesvav, the Rambam described the Seudah of Purim and also says, Ketet chova Seudah zo, sheyokal basar, v'yiskan Seudah na, kefir shatim seyada, v'sho seyayin. The Purim Seudah also has basar and yayin. So you could look undoubtedly at the two Seudahs, the Seudahs you're supposed to have in Shalosh Regalim, the Seudahs you're supposed to have on Purim, and you can look at them in many ways as being essentially similar. They both involve a degree of basar and yayin. They both agree consuming meat and drinking wine. But points out Rav Shlomo Fisher, and we'll elaborate on this a little bit, but undoubtedly with Yontif, the basar is the primary thing that you're consuming. Haraya, according to many Rishonim, we assume this even halacha, that the only time there's Simchas Yontif mid oraisa is when there is the basar of shlamim. That if you can't have the basar of the karbanos, there's no real din of Simchas Yontif mid oraisa, because, and it sounds like that even the Gemara a little bit, that the idea of basar may be limited dafka to the basar of karbanos, dafka of the basar is man beis hamikdash, and in many ways Simchas Yontif even this basar and yayin, the highlight of the show is undoubtedly basar. It's undoubtedly the meat that satiates a person. It's in many ways the primary part of a meal. But we know in contrast to that even if there is basar and yayin when it comes to a Purim Seuda, if you're talking about which plays the more dominant role when it comes to Purim, not getting into halachic questions about drinking, just which, from a strictly source-based perspective, seems to get a more dominant role. That's undoubtedly Yayin. It's undoubtedly Yayin. Yayin in the Gemara and Megillah that we know, Amar Rav Mechayv Innes Levesumi B'Kuraya Ad Lo Yad Ben Araham Levarach Mordechai Levesumi L'Shtakir B'Yayin L'Shtakir B'Yayin that writes Rashi there Purim that a person drinks through wine. So David HaMelech is the emotional one, connects to wine. The Avos are the intellectual ones, connect to Basar. Points out Shlomo Fisher from Gematria, this comes from the Chasam Sofer and others. If you add up the years that the Avos were alive, the years of Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, you get the Gematria of Basar. If you add up the years that David was alive, David lived for 70 years, he's Begematria Yayin. Begematria Yayin. The parallel really exists. The parallel really exists. Not only that, but let's just, talk about it for a moment. If you speak about what kind of food or beverage is associated with the emotional side, undoubtedly that's going to be Yayin. Yayin is something which often opens up a person emotionally that people don't normally associate with drinking lots of wine as being a deep intellectual exercise. Typically, when you're drinking a certain kind of wine, so the wine represents more of an emotional component. And points out Shlomo Fisher, the wine is associated with an ad lo yada ben araham levarach Mordechai. What is the amuna of an ad lo yada? So the intellectual amuna of the avos is obviously as far away as possible from ad lo yada. Intellectual is all about being able to clearly identify chilukim between people. The amuna that's associated with Purim, as many Baalei Machshava explain, is the amuna which is not on the level of yedia, not on the level of real knowledge, but on the level of emotional feel and a sort of closeness which gets developed on a either deeper or different level than the realm of the emotional. In that sense, it makes sense that David, Begmatria Yayin, that David's life, Begmatria Yayin, David, Begmatria Yudalid, that David HaMelech is a person associated with Purim, David HaMelech is associated with the world of Yayin, and that's in many ways what you have. In contrast to the Avos is associated more with cultivating a certain kind of Seichel. They're less Yayin focused. They're more focused on the quote-unquote, what you would say, like the meat and potatoes of things, the Iker in many ways, developing certain ideas. And that's at least one step. It goes one step further, obviously, because it has to. Shlomo Fisher, it's an amazingly compelling and intriguing Mahalach. It's an awesome one. He points out there's a Gemara, isn't quite exactly where it is, but I think he's referring to the Gemara in Masechet Chagiga and Daf Yudal Amid Aleph. We know that there are different Chalakim in Torah. Pasuk in Mishlei tells us, Lechu Lachemu Belachmi, Ushishu Yayin Masachti. There's something called Lechem, there's something called Yayin. Something called Lechem and something called Yayin. What are those associated with? So, Yayin, as opposed to Lechem, he develops connections between Lechem and Basar and things like that, but that's not for now. Kol Mishan Lechem Elu Baalei Talmud. When it comes to Yayin, Elu Baalei Agada. There are two Chalakim of Torah. There's the Chalak of Torah of Halacha. There's the Chalak of Torah, of Agada. And the Gemara Darshins, a distinction between them. Lechem, meat, the primary part of the meal in a certain sense, what the Avos represent, the world of Seichel, etc. So that's something which represents Halacha. That's the more intellectual form of Limud. That the Gimel, that requires a certain kind of intellectual capacity, intellectual development. The Avos, Gimel Regalim. The Avos, the world of Halacha. The Avos, the world of meat and bread and the primary parts of a meal. That is why I believe, as Shlomo Fisher points out, that when the Gemara says about Dafka, about the Shalosh Regalim, not about Purim, the Gemara says, Shloshim Yom Kodem Achad, you have to start learning halachas of Pesach, and learning halachas of Shavuos and Sukkos, at least Sukkos also, because it requires a certain kind of intellectual development. However, that is in contrast to Yayin. Yayin, the Gemara tells us, Yayin parallels Agadah. How come? Because the impact of Agadah done well, Musar done well, as he points out from Rashi, Masechet Shabbos, but other additional Makoros as well, obviously, that Agadah is not about how well you understand things intellectually. That if you want to talk about the kind of Torah which is supposed to move you emotionally, people can understand intellectually the value of Tefillah, but may have no emotional connection whatsoever. Agadah is only truly successful with people who are capable of developing emotional connections or non-intellectual connections, not exclusively intellectual connections, but the kind of Torah which is really going to move you. Which is why the most powerful form of Torah study in Musar, we spoke about this in the past sometimes, from Yisrael Salanter, Musar was not as much, when he spoke about the Musar, it was not as much of an intellectual endeavor, it was an emotional endeavor, learning Behispa'alus. So you would repeat the same Maimer Chazal time and time again for it to impact you, not because intellectually, saying again, you know, Kolakoes Kilu Obed Avodah Zarah, was that now you really understand intellectually, but it's about it permeating your being in much more of an emotional, in much more of a rikshi kind of a way. So in a certain sense, points out Reb Shlomo Fisher, that the world of the Shalosh Regalim is the world that parallels the Avos, the Elokei Avraham, the Elokei Yitzchak, the Elokei Yaakov, the world of Seichel. There we focus less on wine and more on Basar, the Gematria of their Shemos, of their years, equals Basar. They're associated more with the world of Halacha, and therefore the preparation for Shalosh Regalim is a preparation which is going to have to be an intellectual preparation of Shloshim Yom Kodem Achag, being Osek in those Halachas, obviously different perspectives on Shloshim Kodem Achag, which is not for now at all. In contrast is Purim. Which is associated with David HaMelech, associated with the one that brought music and the emotional connection of Yiddishkeit, that David HaMelech is the one more associated. Purim is associated with the world of Yayin, the Gematria, the Osios, the life, the years of David HaMelech, and it connected more with the world of Agada. That's why the Gemara Megillah says that we learn about Purim, Dafka on the day of Purim, not 30 days before. Because if talking about intellectually, you have to start preparing in a certain, I think that's how he explains it. That's what I don't remember, it was late at night. That intellectually there's a certain, you know, you need a bit of a hakdama, but for Purim itself, it's not about the intellectual preparation, it's about being able to live in the moment. It's about being able to live in the present and being able to emotionally get it. You can get what's going on, but you gotta be able to live in the moment in a very, very meaningful way. I wanna share one observation and then we're gonna go into what he says about Emunah, about Bitachon, which I believe is just an amazingly intriguing idea that we will work off of. We sometimes think about Avodas Hashem as there being two categories of people. There are those who have intellectual connections with the Ribono Shel Olam, and there are those who cultivate emotional connections, more a certain kind of spiritual connection or reliance on Ribono Shel Olam. And it is true that there are people that we primarily associate with the world of the intellect and with the world of the emotion. That there are different worlds within Yiddishkeit, the same way that the Avos connect more to one, it seems, the same way that David HaMelech may connect more to others. Same way if you're going through different tzaddikim of generations past, you would have some that go in one direction and some that go in a different direction. There are different ways of being able to perceive it and being able to relate to it. The same way that is considered to be true, and it is true, we know also that what the Torah is trying to mechayev us through having both Shalosh Regalim and Purim, and this is true undoubtedly about the Avos also, even though they may have excelled in one area more than the other, is that we're supposed to be people who are broad. And the reason why we have a Shalosh Regalim is because Shalosh Regalim is about cultivating a certain kind of intellectual relationship, obviously with certain emotional components also of a Seder night, undoubtedly, but it's in many ways primarily the Fivis Mahalach, a bit more intellectual. And we also have to keep Purim, and Purim is about cultivating a certain kind of emotional connection with Ribono Shel Olam, which is not as intellectual. It's a connection of Ad Lo Yada. I don't know, but I feel. I can't see Hashem benigla, but I know every time it says Hamel, deeper down, I know what's really going on. I know who's really pulling the strings behind it. There's a certain kind of deeper connection, and we're supposed to be able to have, as good Jews, approaches that are sensitive both to the world of Purim and the world of the Regesh and to the world of Shalosh Regalim, the world of the intellect. Okay, very nice. Now we get to Bitachon and find what is an intriguing ha'ara of Reb Shlomo Fisher, which is in one of the footnotes. In one of the footnotes there, which I think is absolutely fascinating. Through the second part of the sheet, it's in the bottom left part of the column. But I tried to put down at least many of the highlights from taking different those pieces that many of us may have seen. Let's the following. So what's the deal with Bitachon? Bitachon means you believe that Hashem is in control, or Bitachon means everything's going to work out for the best. I know it's going to, I'm nervous about X, the good is going to happen. What exactly is Bitachon? What exactly does it actually look like? What's it supposed to be? So here, Reb Shlomo Fisher thinks that we can add one additional layer to this, and that's the following. It says, as follows. From an intellectual perspective,
mitzad haseichel, v'divar of lechora neged poskim psukim ufurashim b'tehillim, points out, Rishlomo Fisher, an amazing, amazing thing. What's the Chazanish doing? What's going on? He says, aval ha'emesi, d'in hachanami, mitzad ha'hebit ha'sichli k'dvar of kenhu. Undoubtedly, the Chazanish, when we speak intellectually or philosophically, the Chazanish is right. You can have bitachon, and there's no way of knowing for sure everything's going to really work out okay. From a certain rational perspective, we know that people that have had bitachon and bad things have happened to them. We know that that's true. We know it's true. From a seichel perspective, the Chazanish is undoubtedly right. If you be gifter of bitachon, so you would speak about bitachon the way the Chazanish speaks about bitachon. But points out, Rav Shlomo Fisher, is it not coincidental that there is another mahalach? And the other mahalach lechora is against a variety of psukim in Sefer Tehillim, written by David HaMelech, where in Sefer Tehillim, Idafka sounds like we're supposed to be much more positive with bitachon, that if you have bitachon, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to bring a Yeshua. If you have bitachon, things are going to be really good. If you have bitachon, so don't worry. If you think good, it'll be good. Think good, it'll be good. So it says with Shlomo Fisher, but the Chazanish is right if your entire avodah is only intellectually. But if you're cultivating also an emotional connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, an emotional connection says as follows. Aval machshavos adam nif'alos be'ikir adei hareges. Sometimes a lot of what we think is also emotional. Many people, when they make decisions, are not solely rational. Think about the is a combination of both rational, looking at statistics, and emotional, the way that people feel about it, that's obviously something which is valid and very real. We often relate to things on multiple levels. A guy is dating a girl. So they're deciding, are they going to get married? That's both an intellectual and an emotional decision. That there are conversations sometimes. I know intellectually it makes sense, but emotionally I'm just not there. So that you can't go forward if you haven't made a certain amount of progress, at least emotionally. But a guy feels like emotionally I'm so connected intellectually, I know the relationship makes no sense, that's also not going to be there. That relationships often exist on multiple levels, intellectual and emotional, and so many decisions, and so many, a guy's not even going to make aliyah or not. It's often a decision which is both intellectual and emotional. There are obviously some decisions which are more emotional, some which are more intellectual, some people that tend to be more rational, some people that tend to be more emotional. That's all good and that's all fine, but we all have elements of both. From an emotional perspective, v'atevahu, so k'shiyes adam shavas hanefesh, that when a person knows emotionally, when you feel a deep connection to Ribbono Shel Olam, as I b'mela b'derech ateva, choshev az machshavos apotimiyot, that at that point in time, apotimiyot, at that point in time, you're going to be more optimistic. You're going to be more optimistic. That the bitachon of the Chazanish is the intellectual bitachon. The bitachon of the Babich Rebbe, the bitachon of Rabbi Saul Salanter, the bitachon of Chaim Volozhiner, is the bitachon which stems, and most importantly, says Shlomo Fisher, the bitachon of David HaMelech, is the bitachon which stems from a deep emotional connection with Ribbono Shel Olam, where you just feel like he has your back and is going to take care of you. You just feel, intuit the fact that I know if Hashem is here, things are going to turn out well. They're going to turn out well. It's the emotional side of things, and sometimes the emotional side of things can even impact the way that Ribbono Shel Olam interacts with us. That if it's purely intellectual, the Chazanish is for sure right. If it's emotional, think good, Ribbono Shel Olam will respond at times with it being good. There are multiple perspectives as far as the nature of bitachon. In that sense, Rav Shlomo Fisher is highlighting here so beautifully and so powerfully is just a deepening of the chakira that we mentioned last week. We mentioned last week what the nature of bitachon. So for Shlomo Fisher, you want to resolve the tension between different mikoros. How can Eir Ben Abachya and Chovas HaLevavos have lines that sound more like the Chazanish and have lines that sound much more like the others, like the Rishon Salanter and the Babich Rebbe? How can they all bring Eir Ben Abachyas to prove their shita? So for Shlomo Fisher, if you want, like the Tosefta says, or Shatra quotes often, Kol Torah Kula Inyan Echadhu, that one of the ways that you could learn is by broadening debates and gaining more perspective and by showing that often there are not really debates as much as there are two sides of the same coin or different competing elements or dialectical tension, but in a certain sense, elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim, that for Rav Shlomo Fisher, the debate about bitachon is part of a much larger discussion, which is the fact that we are supposed to cultivate within ourselves complex relationships with Ribbono Sholem, the same way we do with so many other things. How much you're going to be intellectual and how much you're going to be emotional. We are charged to have elements of our avoda that are more deeply intellectual and elements of our avoda that are more deeply emotional. To be able to cultivate, develop, and really sort of appreciate the value of each, that is something which is a transformative, game-changing kind of experience. I believe that Rosenzweig often points out that each moed, I'm sure many others do also, that moedim highlight particular values that are on the one hand relevant all year long. No one's going to argue that the messages of Pesach are only relevant on Pesach and stop thinking about Yetzi Mitzrayim and Amunah the rest of the year. No, we have many mitzvahs that are focused on Yetzi Mitzrayim. And no one's going to argue that Kabbalah's HaTorah is only something relevant on Shavuos, but Talmud Torah the rest of the year doesn't matter that much. And no one would say that about Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Every moed, in a certain sense, highlights particular ideas that are relevant all year round. But just as we say this all the time, just as every day should be Mother's Day, but you also need Mother's Day to be Mother's Day. Because it's important that we have particular dates in the calendar that highlight in a much more intense way a certain kind of connection, a certain kind of awareness, a certain kind of appreciation for that which we should always be on our mind, but some days we need even more of a reminder to fuel us, to impact us for the rest of the year, for the rest of the year also. That's why Derech Agav, we say this all the time, that's why the Tfas Emes writes that Shalosh Pe'amim Bashana, the Regalim are three times during the year, says Tfas Emes, that Pe'amim is Milashon Pa'amon, three times Milashon a bell. What does a bell do? When you ring a bell, it continues to reverberate afterwards. And the goal of the Yamim Tovim that we have is to highlight particular ideas that are critically important, that are supposed to reverberate way beyond just that particular experience. If it's true about the Regalim, which highlight particular ideas, a certain kind of emphasis as far as our avoda, is undoubtedly true also when it comes to Purim. That part of what Purim is there to do is to be the pa'amon for the spiritual, emotional component of religious life, which is always true, which has to be there on Pesach, has to be there Yom Kippur, has to be there all the Shalosh Regalim, has to be there every day of the week. But there are certain days in the calendar that highlight in a much more intense way particular ideals, and those are supposed to impact us and reverberate in intensely meaningful ways. And part of what we're trying to cultivate when it comes to Purim is the emotional component. It's not always about what you know, adalo yada. It's much more about what you feel deep down. It's much more about not, can I say over a certain kind of Torah, but can I also connect to the world of Regesh, to the world of Zmiros. It's much more about the world as represented by, if we're drinking or not, it's a different time, but represented by the world of Yayin, than it is about just the regular meal that I always have, good and pleasurable, as undoubtedly it is. If we want to be able to connect to and to prepare for Purim, so we have a couple days right now. We undoubtedly prepare intellectually as far as making sure we know the halachas, making sure we have an appreciation of what it's about. But a lot of the preparation for Purim takes place already beginning the Shabbos. It takes place when we begin to be able to appreciate in a more way, in a more powerful way, to develop the emotional side of our religious life. That through a meaningful davening and a meaningful su'uda, that through a Shabbos, that's a Shabbos zachar, that through if we can invest a bit, getting ready in a certain sense, to be able to delve into, to cultivate, to open up a little bit some of that regesh, so then we're able to do so in a much more meaningful way. It's not only that, I'll just say one step further. We quoted Rav Cook this week in one of the Shiurim, the Rav Cook in Inayan, Mesach Shabbos, points out that when it comes to cultivating chinuch, the first step is also making people open emotionally. People who are open emotionally, the whole intellectual world afterwards flows from and is entirely different. Purim is a gateway holiday.
Purim is a yontif that gives us the ability to open up. Your Pesach is different if you have a good Purim. That's why the Gemara says Maseches Megillah, Lismoch Geula LeGeula, the Geula of Purim leading into the Geula of Pesach. If you develop, you're able to get into Purim, it can overflow and it can change the quality of your Pesach. Pesach now will be intellectual, but an intellectual that flows from, is connected to, and informed by a certain emotional connection. We should be zocheh to have a wonderful Shabbos. We should be zocheh to be able to connect, develop, and cultivate a certain kind of emotional connection with Ribono Shel Olam. If we do it well, we should know that even if times in life we have our adluya, the moments, even if times in life we encounter the amaleks that represent a certain kind of safek, that we can know that even if I have certain sfeikos, but I really know deep down what's really going on. Shkayik, guys. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.